Wonderful to be with you again today. And greatly blessed to usually meet monthly with Pastor Bryce at least once a month and also with Pastor Tim. It's a blessing to be connected in relationship. I've had a heart, both Bonnie and I have had a heart in the Skagit Valley for forever, you know, for decades. And we're excited to see God raising up people. Especially blessed to commune with you in the presence of God and appreciate your heart as the body rising up and ministering to one another this morning, Speaker Gary, and God is doing good things. Today, I am going to talk about faith, the power of true wisdom. At the beginning of this year, God gave me my personal word for this year, and he said, my personal word for this year was faith. And I did not like that because this is not my first rodeo. I've been around a while, and when I hear the word faith, my mind immediately thinks I'm not going to know what I'm doing, which is true. And I'm going to think, well, I don't like faith because then it means I'm not going to know. I'm going to have to trust. And that's also true. And then God said, well, this is different than you've known before. This is not the same faith that you've known in the past. This is more intimate. This is deeper. Yeah. And I feel that God has brought me and is bringing me through this for the sake of the body of Christ. And he gave me a word that was a partner word with my word faith. It was navigate. To navigate this year. And he told me at the beginning of this year that I was going to have to take a stand like Isaac, who sowed in a severe famine and reaped 100-fold in the same year. And so he didn't sow to reap. He knew he would reap, therefore he sowed. And he said, if you're going to walk this walk of faith with me, you're going to have to know you're going to reap. So you sow to reap. You sow because you're going to reap. And then he reminded me also at the beginning of the year of the prayer of Jabez. And he said, I want you to pray that prayer again. And so at the beginning of the year, I said, God, expand my borders, expand my boundaries, my sphere of influence in this earth. As our sister read this morning, we only have an opportunity on this earth to bring forth some things of faith. And so expand my boundaries, expand my territory, and bless me. And in that, I mean, make me a blessing.
Yes.
And don't let me cause pain. And so what happens in our past does not define who we are. Who God says we are defines us in spite of our past. And I've often said that only a stupid thief would break into a house to steal plastic jewelry. So if you've experienced a thief, you must be expensive. If you have been robbed, if you have been wounded, if you've been hurt, if weapons have been fashioned against you, then you must be a threat.
Yes. That's
right. Amen.
Of life.
That's right.
Wow. You must have been born to bring life to this world.
Yes.
Or the enemy would not be trying to kill you.
That's right.
That's right.
You are the most dangerous thing on planet Earth when it comes to life prevailing over death.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're the most dangerous thing when it comes to love prevailing over hate.
Amen.
Yes.
So we need a faith. Now, faith is connected to the spirit of wisdom. In the curse of the fall, there were seven things that were spoken in the curse of the fall, the consequence, the futility that entered the earth because human beings chose the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil instead of the tree of life. Instead of trusting God in the unknown, we chose to look to know, to understand. We need to be independent. We need to know what we're doing. God didn't create us to be independent to know what we're doing. He created us to be dependent upon him and one another to come into a knowing of doing. A transformation, not an information, a transformation. He doesn't want you to know about the light. He wants you to be the light.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants you to be life, to be love, to be the attributes of God in his character, nature, way, power, authority. And so when man chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there were consequences that entered into the earth because of God's great love. Romans 8 says he subjected the earth to futility in the hope of the manifestation of the sons of God. That's male and female, daughters and sons of God who are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, to be led by the Holy Spirit is not to be led by information. It's not for God to tell you every day what to do. It's for you to have an increasing knowing in your heart of being who he says you are. So that you think what he would think before he thinks it. And to be led by the Spirit of God is to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowing, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's a sevenfold package of the Holy Spirit that leads you, gives you desires, gives you, saves your soul. Saves your thoughts, your reasoning, your imagination, your emotion, and your desires.
That's good. Come on.
Saves the throne of your life, the managing of your life, that causes your physical actions to be expressions of your prosperous soul that is inspired by your prosperous spirit.
Come on.
Because your spirit is planted in the Holy Spirit, therefore your human spirit is becoming holy even as he is holy, and it's causing your soul, the throne of your life, to take on holy attributes, holy thoughts, and holy desires, and holy imagination, and holy emotions, and holy reasoning, so that then you can physically express that the way that you express life. You make a great you and a terrible someone else.
Amen.
And you don't want to try to be a pretender. You don't want to try to be somebody else. You're a one of a kind, for goodness sakes. You don't want to be a second.
That's right.
My brother here said he's got 19 kids in their family. The cool thing of that, each and every one of those 19 is a one and only. He's not one of 19. He's this one. So like you're not one in 6 billion or 7 billion on planet Earth. You're the one and only.
That's right.
You're not one in trillions. You're a one and only. And you were born for such a time as this to bring the life of God into the earth. Now, you have to be led by the Spirit. Now, one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. Now, faith and wisdom are connected. So let's go down a journey on this. Now, I'm also, this year, God has been leading me in this navigation process. And there are certain words that are springing up. Last time I was here, I spoke to you about three things that are unshakable. Okay, faith, hope, and love are eternal and unshakable. Okay? And they connect to. These three words are powerful. So it's a different faith than faith for something. Faith for something is not eternal.
Come on, good words.
Faith toward God is.
Yes.
Faith that is a relationship attribute is eternal. Faith that is something that you think you do for something is not eternal. And it's not the testimony of true faith. So faith is always relational. Faith is always toward God. Now, I am into this thing of faith, hope, and love. God is great. God is good. His mercy endures forever. It connects to faith, hope, and love. Righteousness, peace, and joy is connected to faith, hope, and love. God's my God. I'm a God person, and we live together is connected to faith, hope, and love. This threefold pattern. Now, one of these three is faith. So faith is towards a person. Faith is unshakable when it's towards God. And the more we know God, the more we can know one another and become unshakable in our relationships toward one another. But who has to be the center of the room? God has to be the center of the room. It can't be us. It can't be my need. When I approach God based on He meets my needs, I'm in danger of creating a God that meets my needs, which is called idolatry. But when I approach God and that He's the one who empowers me to be a life giver, He empowers me to be allow Him to be my friend, to allow Him to love me, and then empower me to be His friend, empower me to love Him, which empowers me to love others.
Right.
An eternal attribute. So faith is toward a person. Faith is towards a person. Faith is towards a person. That way, when it looks like it didn't happen the way you thought it would happen, you know it'll still happen because of the person who said it.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
So faith is toward a person. Faith works through love, meaning faith does not work where love does not live. The greater revelation of love, the greater testimony of faith. Faith works through love. Now, the opposite of faith is not fear. The opposite of faith is natural sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, right? The opposite of fear is love. Because perfect love casts out all fear.
That's right.
So when there's not love, there's fear. And that resists faith because faith only works through love. So it seems like fear is the opposite of faith, but it's not. It's the environment that can't produce faith.
Right.
True. That's good word.
So I need a revelation of God's love for faith to work, for there to be an environment where faith works. And faith is the supernatural result of hearing God in our hearts. You can't do faith. Faith happens.
Yes.
Right.
You can't talk someone into faith. You can't command them to have faith. You have to lead them into a supernatural atmosphere where faith happens. Bonnie and I, we raised 3 children, and we knew early on that our responsibility was not to teach them right and wrong. That was not the greatest thing that we could teach them. We pastored a church for 20 years, and we knew the greatest thing we could teach our church was not right and wrong. The greatest thing was if we could teach them to hear God's voice.
Amen.
Our children, if we could teach them to hear God's voice. Our children now are 40, 39, and 32. And they hear God well. And one of the things that's often said about our kids is they're happy people. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't had tough things to walk through. But they made a choice to be happy. And the reason they can make that choice is they have been raised in an environment where they know they were loved and they hear the one who loved them. Okay? So faith comes by hearing God in our hearts. So Holy Spirit, thank you. You're here today. Faith is a supernatural result of hearing God in our hearts. So we can all hear God this morning differently. And be hearing at the same moment. You won't remember everything I say this morning, but you will remember what He says to your heart. Because it doesn't stop. His voice is always an invitation to have an encounter with Him, to be transformed by Him, to become something of that revelation, something of that moment of voice in your life. So a revelation of God's love empowers us to hear correctly. Now, we're called to be obedient to the faith. All of these things, I'm laying a foundation to talk to you about faith, the power of true wisdom. And I've talked to you about these things before. But I'm establishing this to tell you that we're called to be obedient to the faith. Romans 16:25-27 It says to him, to Jesus, who is able to establish you according to the good news that Paul was preaching, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of everlasting God, for what? For obedience to the faith, to God alone wise. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So the secret to obedience to the faith is the spirit of wisdom, God, who alone is wise, who empowers your faith. Now, faith moves you from today into tomorrow. If you don't find faith, you'll be stuck either in today or yesterday. So faith is meant to take you somewhere. Faith is meant to take you from today in the journey of relationship.
That's right.
Wisdom is the secret for moving from today to tomorrow. So wisdom and faith are connected. It's the spirit of wisdom, Holy Spirit, and the attribute of the spirit of wisdom, God alone is wise, which moves you to tomorrow. Now, Holy Spirit is always speaking to all people, but only those who want to hear, hear.
Right.
And so there are a lot of things that God is saying that get twisted by people hearing, and other things get credit.
Right.
So if you listen to the world, I call them secular prophets. What are the secular prophets saying? Now, secular prophets don't give me the word of the Lord. They just are an indication that God is saying something. So I expect secular prophets to twist truth. And so I don't take the word of the Lord as being the secular prophet's voice. I just take the secular prophet's voice as telling me God is saying something. I need to go directly to the source and hear what he's really saying.
Absolutely.
Because if I go to the secular prophet and say that's the voice of God, I'm going to get a deception of who God really is. I have to go directly, because faith doesn't come by hearing voice through a donkey.
Right.
Faith doesn't come by hearing the voice of God through something or even some human. Faith comes by hearing God in your heart. So in the world, there's a lot of things that are true, but they're not truth. There are even lies that are true. So what we want is, there's, I'm going to share a testimony today and remove the cup because it offends somebody. Okay? Is God in that? Okay? The removal of the cup is a challenge because we don't want to offend somebody. Well, you know, God is in that, in the sense of God is saying, I don't want you to be offensive towards one another. God is saying that. Now, he's not saying it the way the world is saying it, but the world is hearing something that the church should hear. But we don't hear from the world, because that would be human wisdom. And that's not true wisdom. Okay? Now, human wisdom is based on experience or non-experience. Because non-experience is experience. How many of you have had hopes that didn't come to pass and you were disappointed? That's a non-experience. You were supposed to experience something, but you didn't experience it. So now you've imagined what that experience should have been, could have been, or would have been. And now that vain imagination of what that should have been affects your ability to move from today into tomorrow. And it creates a wisdom that is based on experience. What didn't happen. How many of you have had some things happen that really hurt? Okay? And it was real. And you were lied about. And you were misunderstood. Okay? And in that, there may even have been a measure of truth in what was said, but it was twisted. And it wasn't real for what it really was. Come on, we all there, right? Okay. And it created an experience that prevents us from moving into tomorrow, and it's called a wisdom based on experience. Now, human wisdom is defensive. Human wisdom doesn't yield. It's filled with human opinion. And it makes human beings wise. But we're called to be obedient to the faith God, who alone is wise. Now, God wants to save our souls. The salvation of your soul is not about where are you going to go when you die.
That's right.
The salvation of your soul is how is your world going to be influenced by you tomorrow.
Right.
Going to heaven, that's easy peasy.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
He died, he rose, and he lived.
That's right.
Yeah? And so we know where we're going. We got our ticket. Now, here's the good news of that. You are now a citizen of heaven.
That's right.
But here's the even better news. You have been given a green card, a visa, to work on planet Earth as an ambassador of where you come from.
Right.
You do not have a visa to go to heaven. You have a visa to remain in the earth for the glory of God.
That's right.
Because you were born for such a time as this.
Amen.
Amen.
Good word.
You are a resident alien. You are actually a documented alien. Your name is written in heaven. You are documented as a resident alien where you live. Now, because you're an alien, you can expect that the way you think is not the way your neighbors think. So don't shame your neighbors for not thinking like you. They're not an alien yet.
That's right.
When it comes to natural things, you're the strange one. But when it comes to spiritual things, you're the normal one.
Amen.
Now, I have a little play on some words. I'm a prophet by gifting, and so I also teach, but I teach as a prophet, so I say things that drive teachers nuts sometimes. So the word spiritual, in English you can do this. Spiritual is spirit natural. Angels are spirit, dogs are natural, and you are spiritual, spirit natural. If you seek to be spirit, that would be illegitimate for you because you're not an angel. You're a set one that's different than a heavenly being called an angel. If you seek heaven as more greater than the earth, you are not spiritual. I call it you are spookal.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, if you seek the natural without the spirit, you are natural, not spiritual, spirit natural. So you are the secret agent, man and woman. You are God's means of bringing heaven into the earth.
That's right.
Which affects both spirit and natural.
Right.
Because you are spirit natural. You're a different being.
Amen.
Okay, now, faith leads us into this place of relationship, but it's obedience to a faith, personal relationship with God. Now, God wants us to be established in our relationship with Him. And He's the one who establishes us. He wants you to be established for the salvation of your soul, so that your thoughts are correct thoughts.
Amen.
Your reasoning is correct reasoning. Your imagination is the correct imagination. Your emotions are the right emotions. Your desires are the right desires. Because your world is going to be shaped by that.
That's right.
Yeah. Pastor said, if you've got cheese on the mustache, everything stinks.
Yeah.
So you need to do an adjustment. So you need to look at what's under your nose so that you're not thinking.
That's right.
Stinking thinking. You know, cheese on the mustache, right? That's what he said. Okay, so we have to, I have a book that I wrote called Prophetic Ministry, A Ministry of Life. And in that book, one of the things I present is word is not verbal. Word is expression.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, let me give you expression that's covert expression. Thoughts. Thoughts affect atmospheres.
Yeah.
Without opening your mouth.
Yeah.
So your thoughts are prophetic. Your thoughts then must pass through the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in order to bring life to the earth. And Revelation 22 is not the end of all things. It's a foundation in Jesus Christ. It happens right now because it says that there's a river that flows from the temple. Where is that river flowing from? From your heart. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. That river is not in heaven. That river is a heavenly river that flows out of you right now. And it flows, it passes through the tree of life. Straight ahead, to the right, to the left. And then, once it passes through the tree of life, there are trees, families, family trees, relationships. And the leaves of those trees bring healing to the nations, meaning the nations are sick.
Come on.
And the fruit of the trees brings food to the nations, meaning they're hungry. So this is not in heaven. This is on earth. It's a foundation in Jesus Christ. It's been happening in the place that is, the place that was, the place that will be, ever since Jesus died, was buried, rose from the dead, and poured out his Holy Spirit upon his holy of holies, the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
So, this tree of life, then, your thoughts have to flow through this. So I need a faith with God that allows me to be established to be a light giver in the earth. Now, faith is empowered by the spirit of wisdom, I said, an attribute of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom leads us to moral. Now, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, talks about wisdom and knowledge. And it says that if we discover the wisdom of God, and we get the knowledge of God, when wisdom and knowledge come together, we get understanding. Now, Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7, let me read this. This is the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, a mystery, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then in verse 7, listen to this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, wisdom, instruction, knowledge. The word knowledge there is not information. It's a word that implies a witting awareness. To be wittingly aware. Now I want you to put this in the context of a relationship. So if I want right thinking, right knowledge, right wittingly awareness, it begins with an awe of God, the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not the fear of the spanking stick.
That's right.
The fear of the Lord is the most pure form of love. It's an awe of God, a willingness to do anything because he is so undoing, so awesome.
That's right.
It's not, oh, I'm in trouble because you're going to kill me. It's, oh, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because you said, here I am.
Yeah.
Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, there's also a Proverbs in Proverbs 9, verse 6 through 11, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, so don't try to correct somebody who doesn't want to be corrected. It'll end up being on you.
Yeah.
For he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. So don't be all upset about the wicked and try to correct them. You'll be the one that ends up being stupid. Why? Why? Because correction is not about making people right. It's about love.
Amen.
And if somebody doesn't want to be corrected, it means they don't want your love. So if you try to correct them, they're going to hear you wrongly. Why? Faith works through love. Faith is toward a person. They can't hear you.
That's true.
So you'd be better to shut up and simply love.
That's very good.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because the objective is relationship, not right.
Amen.
Righteousness is the objective, not right. And that's a relationship. Okay? So don't correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Mm-hmm. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he'll increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Proverbs 1 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and Proverbs 9 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's another Proverbs that talks about when wisdom and knowledge come together. It's Proverbs 20. There's another Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8. If you read all of Proverbs chapter 8, you would find that when wisdom and knowledge come together, they create understanding. So unless I can discover true wisdom and true knowledge, I can't discover true understanding. But where is the source of true wisdom? The awe of God is the beginning of true wisdom. And awe of God is the beginning of true knowledge. An observance of what's right and wrong is not the beginning of true wisdom. It's the inspiration for human wisdom, which is defensive and opinionated. Now, God wants us, he wants human beings in this time to come to a new measure of faith. He wants us to discover wisdom. He wants us to discover knowledge. He wants us to come to understanding. So much so, he's saying it, and the world is hearing it and interpreting it as my own personal view. And it's a good thing, because the church has interpreted God's view is the same for everyone. Which puts round pegs in square holes and square pegs in round holes. And doesn't create anything. So you have to understand that the kingdom of God is crazy. There's no domesticated oxes, only wild ones. It's not a herd of milking cows. It's a created field filled with wild beasts. That humanity, human beings, are not good at doing what they're told.
That's the truth.
They're good at doing what they want to, so if they could connect to the right place of desire, they would want the right thing.
Yes.
They make terrible slaves. They make terrible servants.
Yeah.
Unless they become sons and daughters who serve.
Amen.
If they can be empowered to become sons and daughters and parents who love, then they serve like no servant ever fell.
Yeah, that's right.
But if they're held to a limitation of serving based on faith towards something, faith towards some easily interpreted promise. In the Old Testament, the book about wisdom is what book? Proverbs. Solomon, Proverbs. Okay. In the New Testament, do you know what book is about wisdom? James. Anyone who lacks wisdom, ask. Proverbs is about wisdom, but it's filled with how to act. James says if you lack wisdom, ask, and then you need to act. Because faith without works is dead. So faith is always going to empower action that is inspired by true wisdom and true knowledge. Now here's the verse I'm after. Listen to this one. Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday, and he said, he gave me a correlation of faith, hope, and love with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. I'm going to substitute the words. By faith, the house is built. By hope, it is established. And through love, its rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches.
That's good.
Or by faith, the house is built, but by hope, it becomes unshakable. And by love, it becomes a home.
Amen.
Okay, let's say it again. Listen. By faith, a house is built. By hope, it becomes unshakable, established. And by love, it becomes each room. Each room becomes filled, becomes precious. Each room, it becomes a home. Now, God says we're the people of God. He wants us to be the people. He wants all people to be the people of God. But it takes some to be an invitation to everybody. Which means it's not your house, it's his house. It's not your opinion, it's his opinion. And his opinion is going to change every one of us.
Amen.
Right. Right. Come on. Praise God.
So how do I find this? It's the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. An awe of him. Him is more important than me. Now, it's not you're nobody and he's everything. It's he's everything and you're everything of you that proclaims everything of him in the measure that you can.
Right. Very good.
You see, you were born to be loved. You weren't born to be right.
Yeah.
And when you tried to be right, it ended up being wrong, didn't it? Now, it wasn't because you were evil and wicked. It's just you didn't know how to find wisdom.
That's right.
You didn't know. You didn't know that in awe of him, because you see, you're in a world where you can't trust stuff. You can't trust people.
Right.
Why? Because people trusted in stuff, and then they proved to be people who couldn't be trusted.
That's right.
That's us. See, the problem is we're creating our world based on the elements that exist in the world instead of creating a world based on the elements that exist in heaven. And he said, pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that the kingdoms of this world will become kingdoms of our Lord in Christ. I told you last time I was here, my thinking is changing. You see, I thought 46 and a half years ago when I came to Jesus, I thought that King Ted died, which is true, because he met King Jesus, but I forgot that King Ted rose from the dead. And I am a king.
Right.
And I am a lord. But I'm not a king like the kings of the world.
That's right.
And I'm not a lord like the lords of the world. I'm a king like my king. The king.
Yes.
That's right.
You see, the kingdom of God is not a coming external kingdom.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is an already continually increasing internal kingdom.
Yes.
That transforms the external kingdoms of men.
Amen.
so that your marriage becomes a testimony of heaven on earth.
Yes.
So that your, this, if it's heaven on earth, then there must have to be some facing of some impossible things. If you can fashion it from human elements, you're fashioning the wrong thing. If you can find the substance to create your life on earth, you're looking to the wrong place. You cannot become who God says you are by the substance that exists on earth, but it must come into the earth through your heart, into your life. Because when wisdom and knowledge come together, you get understanding, but it's only by wisdom that the house is built. It's by, which is faith. Faith, the house is built. It's by understanding that it is established. It's by hope that it's established. And it's by love or by knowledge, a witting, knowing, intimacy. See, that's not love as in, what do I get? It's not phileo love, the Greek phileo. What kisses can you give me? It's how can I give my life for you? Even, we had a wonderful communion service at A-Life last Sunday, and Pastor Jonathan presented to us about being the bread of communion. That communion is not about what you get from God. It's about you being bread and giving even as he was bread and gave his life. So it isn't about what you get from the communion table. It's about, are you willing to be broken for someone else? Are you the bread of life sent down from heaven? Are you the word that makes someone come alive today? Not just what you say with your lips, but when you walk into the room, does it look a little bright? Or does it say it for others? There's the hunger, the appetite of someone else get touched. Do you activate a taste bud? If everybody's running from you,
that's your first question.
Come on now. Okay, so we need a faith for God. We need a faith that comes from God. So now, I'm going to go now from Proverbs to James, and this is where I'm going to conclude here on faith, the power of true wisdom, because I told you that Proverbs, when we're reading Proverbs, we're reading a book about faith, hope, and love that's demonstrated with works that's meant to establish a house, build a house, establish a house, and fill every room with precious things. And I believe those things to the reality of eternity are faith, hope, and love. But it's written in a mystery, an enigma. Did you know that the journey of your relationship with God is a mystery, an enigma?
Yeah.
It's not easily seen. If it was easily seen, then you would get a natural result. It's just like living on being the will of God, being the will of God. Did you know the will of self is easy? And did you know that in your life, God will bring a strong wind and bring your personal desires about that high off the ground, a day's journey in every direction. So that when you wake up tomorrow, your desires, you're just bumping into them all day long, bumping into them all day long. They're just fluttering. I like that. The quail were fluttering over the ground about this high off the ground. And the children of Israel said, we want meat. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Did you know God will make it easier for you to eat your meat? And he does it on purpose. Why? He's not testing you to fail. He just wants to make it easy for you not to choose life, not to choose to be the will of God, so that you depend on the supernatural ability of God for you to be his will.
Amen.
So that what you desire is overwhelmed by what he desires. And it comes out of your heart. Just think of all that coil. And I'm thinking today, a little what is it would be better. Well, what is it? I don't know. That's what manna means.
That's right.
I was thinking about Kentucky Fried Chicken today, but I'm feeling an awful big craving for what is it. Well, what is it that you're craving? I don't know. But I know that is not it. Oh, I got to say this again. Come on, man. I was thinking about Kentucky Fried Chicken today, man. And, oh, with this great guy, bumped into a bucket here and a bucket there. Man, I went that direction, there's a bucket, there's another bucket. I went a day's journey in every direction, there's buckets of chicken everywhere. Man, it's everywhere. I was thinking about it when I woke up. Man, I just have a craving for what is it? Well, what is it? I don't know. I have a craving for it. That's how you become the will of God. You have to know what you're doing. Then you're not dependent on the one who knows more than you. Faith is not about knowing what you're doing. Faith is about being in awe of God and connected to
him. Amen.
So now, James, the Apostle James said that true faith is demonstrated by works. Yeah, we've read the book. So our journey of faith, then, is demonstrated by works, and it's for those who seek the wisdom of God. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. James. Suffering? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Do you know how you inherit promises?
Faith and
patience. Bingo. Man, it takes faith and patience. It's not faith and then patience. Well, I did the faith thing, but now I'm just waiting around in the patience thing. I have a term for it. I've had it for many decades. I call it to be able to be patiently violent and violently patient. To be godly with contentment.
Yeah.
To be godly is always to say more. To be content is to say, this is good. So you have to be able to say, this is good, but there's more. So you have to be faith and patience to inherit the promises. You have to be constantly hearing. By the way, faith comes by hearing God, and faith is not standing on what God said yesterday. It's being face to face, close enough to his breath to hear it again today.
Yeah.
Because faith comes by hearing. It's a rhema word, not a logos word. If you have it written down in your journal and you've been warring for that word for the last 10 years, you're not standing in faith. Because you have trust in a promise, and you forgot the promise was never left. And when you heard the first time, you didn't realize it, but you were Charlie Brown's dog, and what you heard was wah, 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 wah. And you can tell by the expression on his face, it must have been good, so you went, whoo! But you're growing in relationship to understand his voice. Hey, so James says then, let patience have its perfect work, verse 4, that you may be perfected and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. So don't suppose he'll receive anything with that. So faith, then, and wisdom are connected. Yeah. Now, the trials of our lives are really a matter of the testing of our faith. Now, it's not the testing of faith to destroy your faith, it's to prove your faith.
Amen.
Well, what's faith? Faith is wisdom, a connection to the one who alone is wise. A relationship with the lover of your soul. A relationship with God so that nothing can shake that relationship. Because faith toward God is unshakable. Faith toward a promise is shakable. Why? The promise shakes. Has anybody had a promise come to pass the way you thought it was going to come to pass? Anybody? I haven't. Not a single one. Not a single promise have I received from God that came to pass the way I thought it would. Now, how many of you have had a promise from God that came to pass better than you thought it would? How many of you had that happen and it took you a few years to look back and figure out, wow, that really was way better? So the trials of our lives are really a matter of the testing of our faith. It's the ground that proves our ability to hear God and to grow in knowing God as our friend. It's also part of our journey in being transformed to become friends of God. Now, James 2, well, the testing of our faith, you know, Romans 5, 1 through 5, by faith we enter into grace. And in grace there's persecution, pressure. And then we persevere, which the Greek word is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Not suck on persimmons, miserable, hang on. That's not endurance. That's misery. You have to cheerfully endure. In the face of, don't you dare be cheerful. Don't you dare endure cheerfully. This sucks. So he doesn't want you to lie and say, well, you know, this doesn't suck at all. No, it sucks. This hurts. But not my will. Your will be done.
That's right.
And what's happening? The real you is manifesting in the midst of cheerful endurance and pressure. And now character manifests. What? Christ in you. The you who is you in Christ. The little I am that manifests a part of the great I am. Not the what you do, the who you are manifests. Not the what you do, the who you are. If you get your identity out of what you do, you don't know who you are. What you do gets its identity out of you. That's why when you discover who you are, you can do anything, and whatever you do will take on the characteristic of who you are.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
For goodness sakes, you know, I was a worship leader for 15 years. I haven't led worship in a long time. Well, I do once in a while. I've led worship down here. It was last year. Okay. But I am a good worship leader, not because I get my identity out of leading worship. It's because worship gets its identity out of me. Okay, I'll give you an illustration. When I was in art class, and trying to relate this for you discovering who you are. When I was in art class, I had been granted an art scholarship. I could have gone into art, except for back in the day, you don't make any money. Probably today also in art, you don't make any money, so you got to pick something that is something like the prostitution of art, you know, commercial art or something like that. You advertise for some business, you get paid for that rather than just creating art, right? But I wanted to be an artist. However, here's me as an artist. The class is out by the river. The mountain has the hillside has the autumn leaves, and everybody's painting a picture of the river and the leaves, and I'm painting the picture of the M&M wrapper with the ants on it.
That's awesome.
Now why? Because the river and the mountain is obvious. But that doesn't match who I am. Because I don't see the obvious.
Exactly. Amen.
I see what no one else sees.
Exactly. Amen.
And well, that's nice, but look at there's a whole colony of life on there. You know, that's who I am. And so I don't paint, but everything I do is I'm able to see what others don't see, and then I help them see it. Have I helped you see some things that?
Yes.
Amen.
That's who I am. So it comes out, and that comes out in music, that comes out in writing, that comes out in that comes out in my landscaping of my yard, that comes out in. Yeah, most people have fruit trees in their yards. I've got a bunch of grafted fruit trees. Most people have apple trees. I have an apple tree with red apples, yellow apples, green apples, all on the same tree. Because that's the church I see.
That's good.
Okay, so James talks about this wisdom. Now, I'm going to conclude here. Let's look at this. You see, faith is a testimony of true wisdom, and that wisdom is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. Now, wisdom is going to get you from today to tomorrow. So in moments, we're going to prepare. We're going to be leaving out of this place today, and we need the wisdom of God to build our house. And so faith is going to build a house. Wisdom is going to build the house. Faith toward God is going to build our house. And we're going to need also knowledge and understanding. I'm talking about true wisdom today. And so this wisdom is about a relationship with God. It's a wisdom that is constantly willing to yield.
That's good.
It's a wisdom that inspires a continual teachability within. It's not like the wisdom of men. It's a wisdom that empowers us to change, grow, and mature in our relationship with God. It empowers our love for God, and that love is demonstrated with continued acts of faith. It's a wisdom of the tree of life, not a wisdom of the knowledge of good and evil. So James 3:13, here's what it looks like. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, spirit of wisdom is connected to faith. Faith is the unshakable thing. Wisdom builds the house. I need a faith that is faith toward God. That is because I have an awe of who He is. I'm increasingly discovering this wisdom that builds my house, builds this church, builds my life, builds my family. I need some more things to establish it, to fill it, to build it. I need to hear God. To build it, to build my life, I need to hear God. To build this church, we need to hear God. To build our family, we need to hear God. To establish it, that is, we need to have an atmosphere that enables us to hear God. Hope has to exist for faith to exist, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you don't have hope, you don't even have the atmosphere for faith to work. And faith comes through love, so look at, there's the third part. Okay, now, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. The wisdom of God involves a meekness of wisdom in the human part. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. This wisdom is earthly, it's sensual, demonic. So it's based on materials you can find on the earth, which then creates thoughts, reasoning, imagination, emotions, and desires that are based upon earthly experiences. And then that even opens the door for spiritual power, demonic influence. And the mark is, I'm trying to get something. Got bitter envy, self-seeking. Now, I know I have it because wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil things are there. When you start to get confused, check out the source of your wisdom.
Good.
good word.
Yes.
Because if you're confused, you can only be confused if you're looking to understand what you can see. But if you're believing for what you can't see, it's impossible to be confused because you don't even know what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, what envy and self-seeking is this confusion, every evil thing we're there now on planet Earth right now. God wants human beings to grab a hold of this. So this is a most confusing, evil time. Okay. It's not just because of last days. Last days going on. My last day was May 12, 1973. Okay. You don't know when your last trump is. Paul wrote to a church, one of the very first churches written to. He said, listen, don't be shaken by last day stuff. Concerning those who sleep, you by no means precede them. In another place, he said to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. You don't know when your last trump is. Is there an ultimate last trump? There are layers and maturation culminations of everything.
Yes.
But he was saying, those who continue into the coming of the Lord, the word there is perfect and imperfect. I'm living into the continual coming of the Lord.
That's right.
My grandpa and grandma are not. They're absent from the body, which is present with the Lord, but they're in that dimension, and I'm increasingly attaching to that breath, to that dimension, so that there's an increasing glory, and I'm not easily shaken. So what do you do when people are having their last days?
Wow.
What do you do when people are having their last days? Well, rejoice always. In everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Don't quench the spirit. Don't have little or no use for prophecy. Hold fast to what's good.
Amen.
That's what he said in the context of that. Don't be shaken. You're not of the night. You're of the day. So, for where envy, self-seeking exists, confusion, everything, evil thing is there, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. The wisdom of men is not full of mercy. Opinions of men are not full of mercy. But wisdom from God depends on his opinion. How are you going to make your decisions this next year? Are you going to make it based upon your opinion, or are you going to base it on his opinion?
His opinion.
Now, you don't know what his opinion is. You think you know what his opinion is. I don't know what his opinion is. I think I know what his opinion is. But the beginning of wisdom to discover it would be in awe of him. And then I'm going to have to be pure. I'm going to have to be gentle. I'm going to have to be willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. I'm going to have to be without hypocrisy and without partiality. And then I'm going to have to see the fruit of a right relationship, righteousness, sown in peace by those who make peace. So this is the source of true wisdom. The wisdom of God in our lives inspires faith towards God that expresses a meekness in our ability to demonstrate our faith. It's not a confidence in ourselves, nor is it a confidence in our ability to hear God. It's a confidence in God and a confidence in his ability to speak to us. He knows how much you can hear today, so he's only going to tell you what you can hear today. And he'll still be there tomorrow to say some more. So let us have confidence in the one who loves us. And let's have confidence in the one who speaks. And he, who alone is wise, will empower the actions of our lives as we hear his voice in our hearts. And we will build our house by wisdom, by faith. So, Father, I thank you, thank you, thank you that you are so good. Thank you that you have created an impossible situation on planet Earth to stay in the past. And Lord, I gotta be honest with you. I like the past. When I get to pick and choose which past I like. And so I really don't like this change that has caused there to be such a confusing and even evil world. So I guess we need to look to you. Would you empower each and every one of us to have awe of your manifested presence in our lives? To know that you alone are wise and you are going to take us from today into tomorrow to be a house where you live. Individually, we're going to be housed where you live. And corporately, together, we're a house where you live. That everyone's church right here is a house where you live. Each of our families are a house where you live. And it's a house that works through love. It's a house that does works that speak of that faith toward you. Would you empower us in this place of relationship with you? Let our faith be a faith that is supernaturally empowered by that closeness and intimacy of knowing you. And let us grow in our confidence in you, our confidence in your speaking in our lives. And everyone here, I say shame off of everyone in this room. Thank you that your blessing presence is on all of us. You're affectionate to every one of us. You love every one of us. We're the LDADs, the BDADs that you want to empower to be prophetic. But you don't just want to love us, you also want to cause us to become heavenly lovers in this earth. Not lovers of heaven, but heavenly lovers. Anointed by heaven's grace to bring the influence of your kingdom come and your will being done on earth exactly as it is in heaven. Lord, we know there is a maturation and a one-day full culmination of this. We look forward to that. Lord, we don't want to miss a moment. We don't want to miss a step. But the testing of our faith is not about the pressure or the suffering. It's about what's going to manifest in us. And that is the testimony of you. Bless these people in Jesus' name. They're your sons and daughters. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, as I was driving down here today, I had a little incident. I was looking at my notes from driving past Lake Sammish, and I looked up and I was shocked that he was falling. I looked up in my spirit, I was shocked it was falling. Because I knew it was spring. And it was a supernatural moment. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, he says, I'm the one who controls the seasons. And the seasons are determined from heaven. They're not determined from the earth. And the season that you're facing is a season that is mine, says God. And I'm bringing fruitfulness that you've never seen before. And even though you are entering into a season that the world calls winter, let this be a season of my presence, because from my presence in your life, there's going to be a springing forth of things that you've not seen before. You've not thought and you've not heard. And I'm bringing forth a fruitfulness that is going to be an expansion of life to you, through you, for the sake of my glory, which is in you and is you. For God says, this is a new day. And in this church, there's going to be an expansion of the walls. There's going to be expansion of that which is established in the floor. There's going to be an extension of the rooms. And the rooms are going to be filled with my precious thoughts, my thoughts for you, my one-of-a-kind ways in your direction. God says the season that is called now is not a season that's determined by that which you see around you. It's not determined by political environments. It's not determined by natural abundance or natural lack. But it's determined by what I declare. And this day, I'm declaring to you that it is my good pleasure to rest in your life. And I have made my covenant with you. And I've come that I might not just rest upon your shoulders. I've come that I might rest in your heart, that you would be the container. You would be the container that is not a rescue container, but a container that fills the earth with my glory, says God. And I've given you the task of that measure that is before you and in this valley called Skagit Valley that will bring forth a new fruit of my name in this season of your life, because I am resting and I am ready. And from this place of me and you and me, there's going to be an expansion of fruit that you've not seen before. Even on the trees that you've seen as fruitless, the branches have been prepared to carry more weight than they could carry in the past. Don't be discouraged by what you've come through, because you've come through.
Yeah.
And because you've come through, you do not know how strong your branches are. Though they look not strong, they bow in a direction toward the earth where I can bring heaven down. And the weight of my fruit will not break the branches, because you've humbled yourself before me. And you're not trying to be. You're simply demonstrating that you already are. The place of my habitation, says God. So be encouraged, because I declare that in this season that is naturally winter, I say spring is in my heart, and it will spring forth in the season that it will need to be seen. And it will have an effect. My house will be built. My house will be established. And you, as my rooms, will be my special precious treasures called my home, says God.